Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. So I'm sitting out here watching Dallas Renegades against LA here in the XFL, and it just reminds me of the fact that there are so many opportunities to play football, not only in the United States, but around the world. So obviously there's the NFL, and then you have the XFL. These are two things we are all fairly familiar with. Even though XFL is on year one, it's all over ABC, Fox, ESPN, whatever. You're familiar with football, you're familiar with the XFL, certainly with the NFL. But even beside that, we have had a couple episodes with teams playing indoor football from the National Arena League. Actually, I think all our teams have been National Arena team. I think they have all been National Arena teams. But you have other leagues, the Indoor Football League, the Champions Indoor League, and some independent leagues as well. One out in the upper Pacific Northwest. I'm trying to think of what they're called, and I can't think of it. But there's leagues there, and there's other independent groups that play indoor football. So there's so many opportunities, not to mention National Gridiron League and just other, even lower than that, amateur leagues that'll just keep you going. And that's just in the United States. We're going to revisit the idea of playing football overseas with this episode. This episode is going to be with Sean Shelton. He plays football, American football, out in Austria. And I know we've talked about Austria before with our last guest who played football in Europe. Sean, however, has had a couple stops before that, all in Europe. He played in France and in Finland, and now has spent 6 seasons playing for a team out in Austria. One of the key differences between Sean and Austin, who was the first football player we had playing in Europe, is Austin was on year one and was looking towards probably going back home to coach. That was where his passion was. And on the other hand, Sean has spent, I think he totaled it, I think it was 6 or 7 years in Europe. And it's a very different story. His life is now in Europe. So this is going to give you a completely different look at what your life could be like, could turn into playing football in Europe. I don't want to give too much away, but I think it's really important that if you are a football player and still unfamiliar with the world of football in Europe, that you really give this a listen. You're going to hear a lot about opportunities. He's going to give you a specific place to put a player profile, where he put his, that got him several offers coming out of Division II football school. That's now changed his life. I mean, this is his life now, playing football in Europe. So enjoy the episode. Thank you, Sean, for your time. We really appreciate it. So sit back and enjoy.
Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team. The Lewisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league, and through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Lewisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Lewisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
This episode is with Sean Shelton, a professional American football player in Austria.
Hello.
Sean, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, man? I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Glad we can finally connect.
Yeah, sorry about last week and just...
Oh, that's not a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Things come up sometimes.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. So I don't know if you've heard any of our shows in the past, but what we do is we talk with players, coaches, team owners, really anybody who fits the mold. And okay. Then they give us an insight on what it's like for them doing whatever it is. Usually we're looking at a sport somewhere different than what the typical sports fan in the U.S. is used to.
Okay.
So American football in Austria is a perfect example. We have had an interviewee way back who did talk about football in Austria, but this is going to be a good addition. So to start off, we'll have you just say your name and what it is that you do or why you were on this episode.
I am Sean Shelton. I am the quarterback of the Schwarzer Reuters Tirol, an American football club in Innsbruck, Austria.
And how long have you been playing in Austria?
This upcoming season will be my sixth.
Okay. Before that, where were you? What was your journey for football?
Well, that's a good question. So I played college football at William Jewell College in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
The Division II school.
Yep.
And then from there, my first stop in Europe was for the Elincourt Templier in Paris, France, outside of Paris. And then I went to Helsinki to play for the Helsinki Roosters. And then from there, I got to the Schwarzer Reuters Tirol.
Okay, so this is great because our first, like I mentioned, we had one guest who played football in Austria, and he was in year one, and he was already talking about how he loves it, but it's probably not going to be his thing forever. Mm-hmm. He's got his eyes on other things. Specifically, he was talking coaching, but you've spent a significant amount of time out in Europe already. Let's start with year one. You're out in France. Is that a different league? That's a different league than the Austrian league, right?
Correct. The leagues are structured by country.
Okay, so France has their own league.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about your experience playing football in France.
Well, that was an interesting experience, especially being in Paris and your first time abroad. And, you know, it was very much a learning experience for me and found out more about myself. And as far as the football, you know, it was great guys and great athletes, but it's very much a hobby. And, you know, I was there I was paid to make the hobby players better and make it more competitive.
Sure.
And most clubs come in and bring in a quarterback for that reason, because it's hard to develop quarterbacks. And so, but the league was much more of a hobby than the other stops that I've been at, meaning less practices per week.
Sure.
Less complex game. Not saying they're not good football players and great athletes, but very, very much more casual than the other stops I was at.
Where did you even come across football in France?
Yeah, so when I ended my college career, I was told to make a profile on europlayers.com. It's okay. Kind of like match.com for American football players and European or worldwide clubs. And I kind of made it just not knowing what to expect. And then sure enough, I got several clubs contacting me and they had the best setup and the best offer. So that's how we came across each other, is via that website.
And so I'm going to guess, through our limited experience we've had here now talking to European football players, agents, are they pretty rare as far as American players playing in Europe?
Man, super rare. Because for multiple reasons, but I think the main reason being there's not enough salaries being made. There's not enough money being made to lose a percentage to representation.
Okay.
And so when you're, I mean, an American playing in Europe can make anywhere plus like accommodation in the lower leagues, or if you're just starting, anywhere to 2,000, maybe a little bit over.
Okay.
Is, I would say, is in the realm of possibility or in the norm. So if you're talking about salaries in the thousands, hundreds or thousands, paying a 10% fee or even a 5% fee to representation, I don't know if it's worth it.
Sure.
I don't know if it's the same. And you don't have the very super intricate contracts with legality things like you do in professional sports. It's I don't think it's really applicable.
So playing in France, what did it look like as far as atmosphere? I can't imagine. I can't imagine it'd be something insane.
No. Maybe 100, maybe 150. Big games, couple hundred.
Okay.
The field that we played at actually didn't even have bleachers, so to say. There were just a couple concrete steps.
Okay.
And so no, not much of a game day atmosphere. Okay. Like I said, it very much felt like guys coming together to have fun and enjoy themselves.
So our guest who was playing in Austria was putting in downtown Vienna, which is sweet. So when you were in France, did you get a pretty good setup?
I did. Now, I wasn't directly in the city like some of the clubs.
Okay.
In Vienna, we were a little bit outside, but I had a really nice house.
This is in France?
Garden. In France, yeah, a really nice house and a garden outside of Paris, so maybe a 20, 25 minute train ride into downtown. And it was actually a great setup. No, it was actually really great because I would prefer that as well. I you know, later on in Helsinki, I stayed in the city and I enjoyed being a little bit separated from the hustle and bustle of a city, especially one the size of Paris. So for me, it was that part of the situation was phenomenal.
So since you said in France, it was much more leisure-like, mm-hmm. did you find yourself getting a lot of time to do other things outside of play football?
Absolutely. I had a ton of time to do a lot of things. You know, we didn't play that aggressive of a schedule from every week there's a game, you know, that wasn't the scenario. And, you know, I started coaching in the Nachwuchs, or the youth rather, in France. And so that was once, so maybe three evenings a week, maybe four evenings a week. I was occupied, but that wasn't contractually obligated to do the youth. I did it more so because I really enjoy coaching, especially youth football. And I had the time. I was honestly, I was bored. But in saying that, I had plenty of time to do trips. And almost every other weekend, I was somewhere else and just exploring and traveling. And sometimes by myself, sometimes I'd meet up with college friends who were studying abroad. Sometimes my parents would come over. It was really, when I look back on that time, I look back on it with very positive feelings because of these things I was able to do outside of football.
Would you consider it a great spot to start for anyone who's looking to play in Europe?
I think so. Not necessarily for the football. You know, the football was good enough to where it's competitive, and we played internationally. So you still got that. What I mean by good enough is you still felt like you got your competitiveness out. You know what I mean? You still got that satisfaction, that competitive satisfaction. It wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
But you also got to do so many other things and live. Like Paris was great because I was thrown in the fire, so to say, of being an expat, being an American abroad, because, you know, Europe, especially Paris, you know, they don't really help you. You know, you kind of have to figure out on your own. You have to figure out the metro system. You have to be able to cope with a foreign language. You have to be able to be okay in uncomfortable situations, which any American playing abroad is going to be in an uncomfortable situation inevitably, whether that's a language barrier, whether that's cultural differences, whatever the case may be. So Paris was a really, really great scenario for me to learn a lot about myself and learn how to be an American abroad.
All right, let's skip to the next one, Helsinki.
Sure.
So you play in France for a year, is that correct?
Correct.
All right, then you're up in Helsinki. First of all, would you consider an upgrade, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, and then what areas would you say specifically you saw an upgrade from France to play up in Helsinki?
Well, in club structure was a huge upgrade. You know, the Helsinki Roosters are a very, very good club. And they, even though they don't have full-time employees, at least they didn't when I was there, they operated in a much more professional manner than Elincourt. And that's pretty consistent from the Finnish league to the French league. It's structurally more professional. So that was a refreshing change, because sometimes when you're in a American import abroad and dealing with unprofessionalism from the club can be very frustrating.
Sure.
It can make things make the whole experience worse, which is unfortunate. So not saying that's what happened to me at Elincourt, but there was a much more professional feel to Helsinki. And in saying that, the football was better. It was much more structured. There was better coaching, better refs. The atmosphere was better. The players were more disciplined. It was a more complex game. And so that was very, very gratifying for me in terms of I was moving in the right direction. And actually, I played the same season, the same year. So 2014, I played in France in Helsinki.
Okay.
And in Helsinki, I replaced their initial injured quarterback. And kind of when I was in France, you know, I decided that I want to try to climb the ladder of European football and get to the top. And so it was gratifying for me to know I took a step in the right direction in getting to the Roosters.
Okay, so you're while playing in Helsinki, at what point do you think you experienced a fan base for a team? Is there one for football in Finland? Or not quite?
Not quite. I mean, the championship game was well attended, but the football is better in the Maple League than the fandom that they have.
Sure.
So even the Helsinki Roosters, which was a great football club and won, I don't know what championship they're on now, maybe 8, 9, 10 in a row. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
When I was there, it was 5 in a row, I think, or 4 in a row. Anyway, it's just they're on an incredible streak, but they only still have a couple hundred people at their games. So it's not that well attended as compared to other countries that I've been in or played against.
I see. Okay, so housing setup for Finland.
Yeah, I was sharing a 2-bedroom apartment with 2 people. So one person lived in the living room and the other, myself and my other roommate, had a bedroom. So it wasn't ideal, and it was downtown. It was in the nicest, one of the nicest neighborhoods of Helsinki, which was a plus. And to give the Roosters a break, they didn't count on me coming.
Sure.
Because again, I was replacing an injured quarterback. So we made the best of not the best scenario, but again, it was a pretty nice apartment in one of the nicest areas of Helsinki, which I really enjoyed. But again, comparing that to what I had in France, I would much prefer a scenario a little bit outside the city. But that's just me personally.
Sure. So usually when people go play overseas, part of the basically that money that they're getting is after everything is taken care of, right? So it's like, you know, whether it's $1,000 a month, but hey, you know, we're getting you to and from the game usually.
Correct.
Sometimes.
Correct.
So what kind of things are coming with these deals? Are they taking care of health for you? Is there food plans? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so theoretically, you shouldn't have many expenses. So most of the time, they take care of your living accommodations. That's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Most have a food deal where you at least get one meal a day.
Okay.
Via a sponsored restaurant.
Nice.
Sometimes you get a car. Ooh. Maybe in the bigger clubs or the nicer clubs, or in the areas where it's more applicable. Like if you're in Helsinki, you don't need a car.
Sure.
It would actually be negative to have a car. But
yeah.
In Paris, I had a vehicle, for instance, because I lived outside the city a little bit. Some of the better clubs in the better countries get you a work visa, which is a huge plus.
Wow. Allowing you to work outside with extra time?
Well, they give you, like my situation in the Raiders, I had a special work visa for them because I was what they deemed a specialty worker.
Okay.
And they basically told the government that, you know, there's not an Austrian that could do this job.
Yeah.
So you have to hire an American.
Yes.
But then after 2 years, I qualified for the next visa, which allowed me to work freely within Europe. So
wow,
that could be a huge plus if you're trying to live abroad, getting your way to a work visa and being sponsored, which is pretty difficult to do.
Yeah.
With a work visa, you get health insurance. You know, if you're just on a travel visa, which some guys are, or a student visa, the health insurance can be shady at times with the clubs that don't take that as seriously. So
sure.
These are the things where an agent would come in and be beneficial. But I think if imports just educate themselves on what's important living abroad, it can be handled in-house by yourself. So usually it's accommodation for sure. Food is common. Cell phone is very, very common. Sometimes a car. A work visa can be common depending on what country you play in. And then everything else could be negotiable, you know?
Mm.
It's really whatever you imagine.
All right, so let's bring you to current team. You're playing in Austria. This is stop number 3 for you, correct?
Yeah, you know, I had a short blimp with the Turku Trojans, who I believe don't even exist anymore, after the Raiders. My first season with the Raiders, so I went back to Finland for a short bit.
Okay.
But, so I've actually played for 4 teams.
Okay.
But the Raiders, obviously, are near and dear to my heart. That's the club I claim, obviously.
Yeah, so you've been here, you said 6 years.
This will be my 6th season, yeah. So I got here 5 years ago in February.
Wow.
So this month.
So yeah. Do you just stick around Europe now? I mean, you've been there for 8 years-ish, right?
Well, I've played multiple seasons in multiple years. I think this will be... I got to Europe in January 2014. So okay. Yeah, so six years now. And yeah, I live here year-round.
Sure.
I get paid year-round. I'm a full-time employee of the Sparkle Raiders, and I met my wife here, and I'm currently married. And,
awesome.
And yeah, no, this is...
That's cool.
I've...
Life is in Europe now.
Roots. Yeah, I've grown roots in Innsbruck.
That's exciting. So, you said earlier you were trying to climb the ladder when you're going from France and then going on to Finland and now playing in Austria. Is that the ladder? Have you climbed it?
Yes. Yeah, and I was able to do so relatively quickly, which was great. Because probably I got lucky in connections. But, you know, when I first got to France and decided that, you know, you start studying American football in Europe because it's not the most well-known thing. And several clubs always came up. And, you know, you have your Braunschweigs and you know, Dresden at the time, or Schwäbisch Hall, or Vienna Vikings. So you hear common clubs.
Yes.
But the one that always came most often were the Raiders. And Shuan and Lee called me fall of 2014 and made it was a very easy decision for me. And, you know, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to play in front of people. I wanted to play for a prestigious club. I wanted to play for a club that was professional and had professional coaching. And the Raiders checked all the boxes.
So I want to get into some details about you with the Raiders, but just for a second, you know, you want to be supportive and well concreted in with the Raiders, but when you look at the ladder of football in Europe, do you honestly think Austria is the last step, or is there a step above Austria?
Well, that's a good question. It depends what your perspective is. From a organizational standpoint and from a professionalism standpoint, the Sparkle Raiders are the pinnacle of Europe, in my opinion.
Okay.
In terms of on-field quality and complexity and scheme of football, I think Austria is the best. But the best football players in Europe don't necessarily play in Austria. Austria has a ton of football, good football players. But because of rules and country rules, federation rules, players can't get paid.
Okay.
And
local players can't?
It's local players. It's an amateur sport.
Really?
So you're only allowed several imports, and they're the people that are allowed to get played. In saying that, Germany is much more semi-professional.
That was the one I was thinking of.
Exactly. Where European players can come in, German players can get paid.
There's
recruiting. There's much better football players on the field in Germany. But in my opinion, the time spent in from European coaching and or from Austrian coaching and the amount of practice time that we have, because it is all local players, I think the complexity of Austrian football is actually more complex than German football.
Okay, so let's break down a little bit of time with you and the Raiders. What does your day-to-day look like for the Raiders?
Well, depends on what year. Every year I've been here, I kind of assumed more responsibility.
Sure.
And even including last year, I took over the youth director role. So
okay.
My day looks much more like administrative work for the youth program than it actually does being quarterback. Being quarterback is kind of like my break from my real job.
Oh, really?
As of lately. But it could be anywhere from, I usually get in the office around 9:30 or 10. Could be anywhere from organizational or administrative stuff in regards to the Nachwuchs, organizing the coaching staffs, or working with the team moms is a big part of my job to make sure that everything's running smoothly there, from an off-season plan, make sure the field's reserved. So administrative stuff. But also on the other hand, I work very closely with the offensive coordinator about the playbook at the men's level, the highest team, the team I play for, anywhere from game planning to scripting practices to installs to data analysis. So I kind of have two jobs that I juggle on a daily basis.
On the field, how long is the season in Austria?
We go from March to July.
Okay, and then as far as fandom goes from day to day, mm-hmm. I assume it's a step up from the other two leagues?
Correct. It's a massive step up.
And it is.
Mm-hmm.
About how many you bring in a game, do you think, if you had to guess?
I think on an average, a random AFL game.
Okay.
We bring in a little over 2,000, maybe mid-2000s.
Wow, that is really good.
Yeah, and then on big games, international games, championship games, games against the Vienna Vikings, our rivals, it's easily over 3, push 4. If it's a good attendance, 4.5 to 5.
Do people know who you are?
Me personally?
Yeah.
Depends. I'm popular in a very small group of people.
That makes a lot of sense.
So if people know American football in Europe and they've been following it, then they probably know of me. Yes.
Okay. You mentioned average kind of AFL look as far as fans go. There is a lot of football in the U.S. outside of the NFL and even out of the XFL. What has kept you from playing or going to the U.S. to play some form of indoor football that'll pay you and keep you in the States to instead play football in Europe?
Yeah, I think I never gravitated towards indoor football. You know, it's a fun game to watch and it's an interesting spin on classic American football, but it was never something that I gravitate. I don't even know if my skill sets would actually translate.
Sure.
One of my better characteristics as a quarterback is arm strength, and you know, that doesn't necessarily come into play in arena football. And the schematics of it, you know, the reason I still play and I love American football is kind of the chess match that it is, and that's why I play quarterback and drawn to the sport as a quarterback. So that was honestly never even a consideration for me. I like 11 on 11 full field in-depth schematic football.
All right, so I want to end with a game we sometimes do with athletes that have played in more than two leagues. And what I do is I just say a category, and then you tell me which one of the three leagues was best for that.
Okay.
And if it turns out to like always be Austria, then we might just do second place, because I get a feeling that might happen. So first one is fandom. I think I know the answer.
Yeah.
Austria,
for sure.
Okay, and then who is second for that?
Helsinki.
Okay, as far as safety, feeling safe outside of the field and just out on your own?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think both Helsinki and Innsbruck felt extremely safe.
Okay.
And where I was in Paris was also extremely safe, but there are areas of Paris that are not so good. I can't really say the same about Helsinki and Innsbruck.
Awesome. What about as far as either team trainers or doctors?
Austria. We have a very, very good team doctor and good trainers.
Okay. Now, we don't need to know how much, but pay. What league was most competitive when it comes to that?
I would say Austria. I think it's hard to compete with the Raiders, but if you're good, and you play for a top team in any league, you'll probably get paid quite a bit. Like the salary in Helsinki was also very good.
Can you give me, like you said, just a basic range of what you think a first-year player could expect from where it would probably start to where it could get?
From a salary standpoint?
Yeah.
Yeah, so again, it depends what country you play in and what level, what league you're playing in within the country, because there's multiple different leagues, kind of like the NCAA. But I think a good first contract, if you can get around 1,000, that's more than I got as a first year in the league.
Okay.
I was making, because I had game bonuses, I was making somewhere around 800, 900.
Okay.
So I think if you can get around 1,000 with a good accommodation, good setup, you're doing well. And then every year you just take a step up. If you do the things that imports should do, support the club, don't get in trouble, don't be a menace for the team, promote the sport, do everything the club asks you to. If you do those things, people talk and it's a small community and you'll get a raise by that club or by a different club who's heard about you.
All right, so one other topic is food.
Food. I think people would think Paris when they think food, but actually I'm going to take Innsbruck. I think the food scene in Paris is obviously good, but I never was going to spend the money to eat at those type of places that you can experience Paris in. So in Innsbruck we have Gasthouses and it's hearty, like wholesome food at a much more reasonable price. So I gravitate towards that.
Awesome. Sean, is there anything you think people need to know about opportunities to play football in Europe or anything about your story that we haven't covered yet?
No, nothing about my story specifically. You know, it's just been I think I'm one of many positive examples of how enriching playing abroad can be. Not even that if you stay here, if you play for several years and go back, I think you're an enriched person. You've experienced
absolutely
multiple things, and I would encourage people to do it, because like when I was in Paris, maybe 10 people on the team spoke English. I was playing with grown men and we had to figure it out, and you know, communication skills got better, confidence grew, you know, your team working ability increases. So it's just a huge, huge learning and humbling experience that I encourage everybody to do, because I do think it's an enriching experience. But I would say if this is something you're interested in doing and playing abroad interests you, educate yourself. I think a lot of people come over, myself included, that come over and they don't know the laws, they don't know how visas work, they don't know where the consulate is or how health insurance would be handled. So all these things, I would say reach out to former imports or current imports and get their advice, because all that stuff is easily overlooked, but also very, very important.
Awesome. End with one question here, and that's, Sean, do you agree that information about playing football overseas is something that's undercovered as far as athletes go here in the United States?
I think so. I've actually talked to several imports about this, or former imports, and think about writing a book or something like that. But I think there's not really one collective place to find all of it. That's why I think the best thing to do is reach out and talk to as many people that you know or can find about it, and get experiences and educate yourself. Write me. I'll talk to you about it. I'll answer your questions. And I think that's just the best way to gather information and ask people about clubs, ask people about leagues. You know, as much as clubs talk to each other about imports, imports talk to each other about clubs too. So I think just immerse yourself in the community and educate yourself in that way.
Awesome. So we actually, now that you say that, that's what we try to be, is that platform that you're talking about, that one platform to help out. So if you do have any athletes that you talk with that you think they want to tell people stuff too, let them know, and we'll have them on too. We'd love that, because we have found that, especially football, I mean, people think it's the NFL and that's it, you know.
Yep.
And it's like that's not even close to your world. The other thing is, if you're serious about a book, we might want to talk and slap our logo on there somewhere, maybe.
Yeah. No, so write me privately. I think it would be a phenomenal resource for people. It'd just be tough
it would
to update
be.
On a yearly basis, and I think that's where the thing is. But it should be done, I think, and I think it would be, yeah, a great resource for people.
Awesome. I thank you very much, man. We'll be in touch. I'll let you know when this is done, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you
for having me.
Yeah, see ya. I hope you enjoyed that. Sean's a very professional side to him. Very even keel, detail oriented, gives you what you need to know kind of guy. And that's why it was a 20 or so minute interview, but a lot of good detail. I like his point. I think he made a good point when I asked him, football is your career, it's your life, you're not playing in the NFL, you're not playing in the XFL. What has made you want to go play football in Europe and continue to play Europe instead of going back home, being in the United States and playing some sort of indoor football? And I think he made a really good point that it is a different game, and it fits some people's game. And it is an exciting game to watch, don't get me wrong. It's a fun game to go watch. Side note, if you're anywhere near an indoor football team, you need to go watch them, because it is a riot to watch that game. But he has a point. It's a different style of football, especially as a quarterback, and especially if you're, like he said, his strongest point about him is his arm strength. And I can see where playing on a 50-yard field instead of 100 yards does feel limiting. And the other thing is, I said, why wouldn't you want to go home and play in the U.S.? Well, he's home now. He's been in Europe long enough to, now he's married in Europe. Life is in Europe. And he's played 6 seasons in Austria. Life is now in Europe, and more specifically, it sounds like life is in Austria. So football in Europe does not have to be a step to another region. I think it was interesting, he was talking about how he wanted to climb the ladder of football, where? Not around the world, the ladder of football in Europe. He wanted to stop in Europe. He knew that there was enough steps that he could take in Europe to be satisfied when he reached the top. And I think that's really cool. He didn't necessarily go in with his eyes on a totally different region. He went in, looked at Europe, and said, I want to climb the ladder of football in Europe. And that tells us a couple of things. One thing is that it's going to be satisfying for you as a player. It can be, at least. The other thing, the more important thing that it tells us about football in Europe, is that there are enough steps to climb. That's what's important. We've only talked, you know, our two guys that we've interviewed playing football in Europe both played in Austria. But the important thing is, Spencer wants to go play football out in Europe because Sean wants to climb the ladder. He wants to go play football in Europe because he knows there's enough steps to be climbed. He knows that he can start in France and take a step up to Finland and make a step maybe somewhere else before he gets up to Austria. And maybe while he's in Austria, he steps up to a better team. And he knows that not only are there enough steps to keep him occupied, but where the steps lead in Europe will be satisfying for him personally. And that's really important. And the only way you're going to know that is by getting more and more information about these leagues and opportunities around the world. So I guess what I'm trying to say is, we're doing our best to give you the information that you need to know about your opportunities, to know that you can set your eyes on something completely different. You can set your eyes in a region you didn't even think was possible. Did you know there's football in Japan? Did you know that there's a huge opportunity to go play football in Japan? Ladders to be climbed out of Asia in football? Did you know that? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Did you know before these episodes there's significant ladders to be climbed in Europe playing football? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But again, that's what we have been trying to do. We want you to know this, not because we don't want you to set your eyes on the NFL or even the XFL. It's because when those don't work, we don't want you to give up on the game that you love. Because there's teams that want you and need you, and you never know where those steps are going to take you. And so it excites me to know that a guy like Sean goes out and says, you know what? I love the U.S. I had a great time playing football in America, but I'm going to focus on the steps that need to be climbed in Europe. And I'm going to conquer those steps, and I'm going to dominate here. He kept his eyes on Europe. I like that. It's different. It seems different than some of the other stories we get where somebody's going overseas, always with their eyes looking back on the U.S., which is great. Something to shoot for. But it's like Sean looked at Europe and said, nah, this is it. Europe is it. There are steps to be climbed, opportunities to be seized, things to accomplish, teams to beat, teams to have chasing after me, contracts to sign, championships to win. And I think the sooner you as a player realize that those opportunities and steps to be climbed are all over this world in the sports that you love, the more successful and more satisfied of a player you're going to be. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We had a great time recording this one. Thank you all, and you'll hear again from us next week.
Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin, you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested, and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.